You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Brian Entrekin.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Brian Entrekin, a.k.a. KC Bubba. You can find me on the Twitter at BDEntrek, B-D-E-N-T-R-E-K. Hope you had a great weekend. Enjoyed some Jake Crumpler action covering for you, as he will each and every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, for you throughout the baseball season. We're getting closer to opening day, just a few days away now. Some more roster cuts, some injuries, and much, much more. We'll keep you up to date on that, as usual, on the First Pitch Podcast. So let's cover some of the main news and notes from Sunday. Nolan Jones of the Colorado Rockies was hit on the knee with a foul ball on Saturday. He even thought he maybe, you know, fractured something in his kneecap, but reports came back on Sunday, hit below his kneecap. It's just a bruise. Jones feels good, feels optimistic. He'll be ready for opening day, and so do the Rockies. So keep our fingers crossed. It looks like Nolan Jones will not miss time and be good to go to start the season. A minor trade for Colorado. They acquired Jake Cave from the Philadelphia Phillies. Just a minor move here, not a whole lot of fantasy relevance for now. But keep a note on that just for future incidences with Mr. Jake Cave, as he, you know, mostly a fourth or fifth outfielder on most real life teams, which makes not a whole lot of sense for fantasy squads. An outfielder that does have some upside in fantasy squads is Austin Hayes of the Baltimore Orioles. He was hit by a pitch on his shoulder on Saturday, left the game. Reports on Sunday came back, and he's day-to-day. It just seems like a bruise. Should be good to go for opening day. Hayes is going super late in drafts, makes for a fun fifth outfielder in deeper formats. Lots of upside there as long as he's not in too much of a platoon with Colt Kowser. I think they'll go elsewhere as they also enjoy Hayes' defense. So look for Austin Hayes to be just fine on opening day. When the New York Mets signed J.D. Martinez, we knew Mark Vientos' days were numbered, especially at the DH position. We thought maybe he'd still platoon at third base with Brett Beatty. Well, all those assumptions have been laid to rest as Mark Vientos was sent back to AAA on Sunday. That's kind of a bummer, but he still needs some work there, as there's some data that was put all over Twitter on Sunday that Vientos is struggling with high-velocity pitches. That'll obviously need to be fixed in the minors, because there's a lot of high velocity pitchers in the bigs. Shocker. So with Mark Vientos going to AAA, someone else will DH for the first few games. As we mentioned last week, JD Martinez is going to need some time in the minors, like anywhere from like 7, 8, 9 games or so, give or take, before he's back. But what this also does with Mark Vientos going back to AAA, Brett Beatty is the main third baseman for the Mets. Now, I've always been kind of skeptical of Brett Beatty. I know he's got a lot of great prospect pedigree, quote unquote. He's shown good offense in the minors. He just never came to fruition in the bigs yet. Small sample, of course, young ball player, going to get regular run now. So if we're a believer in Brett Beatty's skills, and if Brett Beatty can develop that on the big league level, then he could be a nice late round draft pick. If you're still drafting, could be on the waiver wire in certain formats. So things to keep in mind with Brett Beatty, but with the demotion of Vientos, it's Beatty's world at third base. The New York Yankees named their fifth starter on Sunday, and that is one Luis Eel, who many were hoping would get the job, and now he does have the job. Eel has shown massive strikeout upside throughout his time in the minors and short stint in the bigs. The biggest concern I have with Eel, like, I think he's a great pickup on the waiver wires, was picked up in a lot of leagues on Sundays, so that's great. But Eel only threw 4 innings last year, period. Not just in the bigs, 4 innings, period, last year, as he was coming back from injury, still a young arm. The goal for the Yankees right now is to have Eel hold the rotation spot for Gerrit Cole until he returns from the IL. If Eel can do that, everything's great for the Yankees. They'll get some good innings for fantasy, and then we'll see if Eel stays in the rotation. Like some are saying, Luis is better than Clark Schmidt. Okay, the only difference is Clark Schmidt can throw a bunch of innings where Eel cannot. So keep an eye on that, but for now, you take what you can get with Luis Eel until Gerrit Cole returns. Some more New York Yankees news. DJ LeMahieu has been battling that foot injury ever since he fouled a ball off of it. We mentioned the other day he's been running a bit. Well, he's still struggling to get fully back from this bruised foot, and this can be a sensitive area. If you've ever had foot injuries of any sort, it's difficult because obviously all your weight is on your feet. So reports out of Yankees camp is they're concerned that LeMahieu will not be ready for opening day, but also not as concerned to need to put him on the IL, meaning it might just be a few games and he'll be back. Maybe he just misses the first weekend. We'll see. If LeMahieu doesn't go on the IL, awesome. Part of me wants him to go on the 10-day IL to just rest and let it really get healthy for the regular season, because I've been a big proponent of DJ's draft price, which is essentially free in a lot of formats. He has that first base, third base eligibility. DJ is projected to be the leadoff hitter for the New York Mets, which will bring tons of fantasy upside as well. So we'll see where this goes. The injury is not serious. It's just taking longer than expected to get back to normal, being a bruise on the foot. TJ Friedl got a little bit of good news maybe on Sunday. When he had the wrist injury, we're thinking 4 to 6 weeks, which means maybe 3 months when all things are said and done. But Friedl appears to be ahead of schedule. He's already moving and utilizing his wrist, which is a good sign. Obviously not doing any baseball activities yet, but just the fact he's already having like mobility and whatnot in the wrist is a very, very good sign. The Reds are saying it might be more like the 4 week situation instead of the 4 to 6 week situation. So some people can be optimistic, maybe worth a stash here pretty soon. I dropped TJ Friedl in my 12 team leagues on Sunday, but I am preparing to potentially add him back in a couple weeks if the news continues to go well. I know I won't be alone in that situation, but with wrist injuries, we've seen it with Tommy Edman already. These things can linger. They can make it difficult to hit, power and whatnot. So I don't think Friedl's out of the weeds yet, but definitely some positive news on Sunday. More positive news. Gavin Williams of the Cleveland Guardians. He is ready to rock and roll pretty soon now. He's going to still miss a couple of starts to start the season, which is kind of expected, but he's returned to throwing. He's going to start the year on the IL. The fact he's throwing, will start getting in some rehab games pretty soon. He may be good to go by middle, like maybe third week in April, which is outstanding because his draft price has plummeted. The Guardians never seemed overly concerned with the injury, and they just wanted to slow play it. And the way he's coming back right now, Williams, the slow play was good. So if you're still drafting, Gavin Williams, late round pick, if you can stash, looks pretty strong right now. Colorado Rockies, a little bit more news from the Rocky Mountains. Ezekiel Tovar, stud shortstop that I'm very optimistic on this season. I think he's got 20-20 upside. Apparently the Rockies are a bit optimistic on Ezekiel Tovar as well, as they signed him to an 8-year, $84 million extension. One of those team-friendly ones for young players. Benefits Tovar getting that $84 million, plus the Rockies lock him up for cheap for the long term. This is a great sign that it's his job and no one's taking it from him. So keep drafting Tovar late in drafts as your shortstop or middle infielder with confidence. Emmett Sheehan of the Los Angeles Dodgers. We already knew he'd start the season on the IL with elbow inflammation, but we have a clear kind of timetable on what's going to take place with Emmett Sheehan now. He's going to throw a bullpen session on Monday and face some live hitters later in the week. Assuming that keeps going well, Sheehan will start his ramp-up period, which the Dodgers have already said he'll need a full, basically, spring training's worth of ramp-up. So looks like we'll see Sheehan at best end of April, beginning of May, but now we at least have an idea on when Emmett Sheehan will be returning to the Dodgers. Kevin Gausman of the Toronto Blue Jays, a player I've been drafting with his decreased ADP time and time again, a lot of fourth-round Kevin Gausmans lately, and I'm pumped. He's scheduled to throw in-game action on Monday. Expected to throw 3 innings or 55 pitches. That's all groovy. And if all goes well, Gausman may just come into the rotation as the fourth or fifth game, basically. He might not be fully stretched out. They might get, 70 pitches out of him, but a 70-pitch Gausman, probably better than most fourth or fifth starters, just throwing it out there. So Gausman might not miss any time, which is outstanding. So keep drafting Gausman with confidence. Some not-so-confident news here. Taiwan Walker of the Philadelphia Phillies will start the season on the IL with right shoulder impingement. Gausman wasn't happy with his velocity. He hasn't been able to find it all spring. And the impingement will set him back quite a bit. He's going to be shut down with goals of throwing within the next week or so. If that takes place and he gets going again, he'll need a full spring to build up once again. So Taiwan Walker, probably not till May. And at that point, he was only a streamer for me at best anyways. So kind of, if you got Walker, you can drop him. If you can stash him on the IL, go for it. There's just not a lot of fantasy appeal Taiwan Walker brings to the table these days. Carlos Carrasco of the Cleveland Guardians has some feel-good news here. He was named the fifth starter for the Guardians. Carrasco, for those that you remember, in his young days, was a Cleveland Guardian originally. We've seen good stuff from Carrasco. Just health has been a concern with him for many years now. He's probably a streamer at best, but it's just a cool feel-good story. Cookie is going to be pitching for the Cleveland Guardians this season. Michael Wacha of the Kansas City Royals, he left Sunday's game after getting hit in the middle finger by a baseball line drive. He'll undergo x-rays on Monday. He looked to be in a lot of pain as he left the game, but everyone's pretty optimistic by the situation. We'll have to wait and see further details on that one. Colton Cowser, we already kind of knew he was making the team, especially after all the demotions the Orioles made the other day, but the Orioles made it official on Sunday, naming Colton Cowser to the big league squad. Tons of power. We've seen it in the minors, but this spring training, tons of power from Cowser, and now he'll be in a likely platoon role in the outfield. Last but not least, a little more Blake Snell information. We mentioned when Blake Snell signed with the Giants, he admitted he stretched out for 60 pitches, but they're not high adrenaline 60, so he still needs to ramp up a bit. Snell threw a three-game simulated game on Sunday, and if all goes well from bouncing back from that, we'll have a better timetable on Monday to what Snell's future lies. But if he's throwing three innings, similar to Kevin Gausman, we might see Snell much sooner than expected, maybe at the back end of the first five through the rotation for the Giants, or maybe he slots back in there towards the front end of the next go-around, like middle of next week. So that's promising news on the Blake Snell front. All right, that'll do it from the main news and notes on the diamond. Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors.
Selling smoothies is what I do, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Brian Inchkin, a.k.a. KC Bubba. Let's get some hitting highlights from Sunday as we're wrapping up spring training action before a couple of exhibition games. Willy Adames went 3-for-3 with 3 home runs, 4 runs scored, 6 RBIs, and a walk. We want Willy to bounce back this season. He was on the trajectory to be a phenomenal fantasy shortstop, hit a massive road bump last season. His draft price has resembled that roadblock. So you get him pretty cheap in drafts right now. And if we can get Willie back to that 20 to 25 home run guy, there's lots to like here. So a nice way to kind of wrap up spring training for Mr. Adames. Sticking with the Brew Crew, Sal Frelick, 2-for-5 with a double, a homer, 2 runs scored, an RBI, and a stolen base. That, folks, is a combo meal. Frelick is supposed to be a utility guy playing outfield, playing a lot of third base. They're going to try to keep his bat in the lineup quite a bit. And outings like this in spring go a long way in helping keep him on the field. Mention him again, Christian Encarnacion Strand, better known as CES, went 1-for-3 with a home run, a run scored, and 2 RBIs on Sunday. With all the injuries in Cincinnati, he's locked up some pretty good playing time for CES. Lots of power potential, 30 to 35 home runs, would not be shocked. Hits for a good average, middle of that lineup. Love CES in drafts with the playing time, and he's finishing spring in a big, big way. All right, remember, if you need some starting pitching highlights from spring, check out the Plus Pitch Podcast with Nick Pollock, because he goes over all the relevant spring training, pitching news, notes, and more to get you covered there, as well as his daily SP roundups. Go check out the Plus Pitch Podcast with Nick Pollock, his SP roundup, and much, much more. That'll do it, folks. Another episode of the First Pitch Podcast in the books. Before we head on here, make sure y'all go to pitcherlist.com and become a member, PL Plus, PL Pro. You will not regret it. It's a great way to join the Pitcher List community, get the awesome Discord, one of the best Discords around, get you covered on all those aspects. There'll be more PL Plus, PL Pro only content as well, podcast articles and such. So go join it, support the cause, have some fun over at PL Plus on PitcherList.com. That'll do it, folks. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow to recap Monday's news and notes from around the diamond. But for now, this was your First Pitch Podcast Monday, March 25th edition. Hope you all have a great day.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.